Dana jana deha geha Krishna samarpana Koriya cho shuddha chitte Koroho smarana jana deha geha krishna samarpana koriya cho shuddha chitte koroho smarana tabe keno mama suta Boli Guru Dukha Krishna Nilo Nija Jana Tahe Tara Sukha Ekeno Mama Suta Boli Guru Dukha Krishna Nilo Jana Tahe tara sukha Krishna icha ghata na Tahe sukha dukha jagna Avidya kalpana Sukha dukha gyan Krishna icha mati saba Ghataya ghatana Tahe sukha dukha Tahe sukha dukha gyana Avidya kalpana Jaha Icha Kore Krishna Tahi Janu Bhala Tyajiya Apana Icha Guchao Jajala Jaha Icha Kore Krishna Tahi Janu Bhala Jiya pana icha guchao jashjala Krishna deya Krishna neya sorry deya Krishna neya Krishna pale Krishna sabe rakhe Krishna mare Krishna Icha kore jabe Deya Krishna, Neya Krishna Pale Krishna sabe Rakhe Krishna, Mare Krishna Icha kore jabe Icha biparita je kore basana tara icha nahi phale se paya jatana Krishna icha biparita je kore basana Tara icha nahi phale se paya jatana Maria Sakala Shoka Shuno Krishna Nama Paramananda Purpave Kunahave Kama Tajiya Sakala Shoka Shuno Krishna Nama Paramananda Pave Punahave Kama Bhakati Vinoda Mage Shivasa Charane Atma Nivedana Shakti Jivana Marane Bhakati Vinoda Mage Shivasa Charane Atma Nivedana Shakti Jivana Marane Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Bengali, there's a translation. A little background first. This is a song by that is Shivas Thakur speaking to his family members at the time of his only son's leaving his body, dying in its back part of the house, where in the front part, in the temple area, Lord Chaitanya is dancing and chanting. And he's encouraging his family members, don't lament. So, Shrivas Thakur says, remember, with a purified heart, that you have surrendered your wealth, companions, body, and house to Krishna. Why do you lament, O my son? Krishna has taken his dear one for his own pleasure. Everything happens according to the will of Krishna. To derive one's happiness and distress from these temporary incidents is the product of ignorance. Accept that Krishna's will is beneficial. Give up your selfish desires and be freed from contamination. Krishna gives, Krishna takes, and Krishna maintains everyone. Krishna protects and Krishna kills whenever he desires. The desires of one who opposes the desire of Krishna will never be fulfilled. Such a person only achieves misery. Give up all lamentation and hear the name of Krishna. Then you will feel ecstasy and your desires will be fulfilled. Bhaktivinod begs at the feet of Srivas for the strength the Lord in life and in death. And this is a song that's composed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So if you go to that number 5, grieving. Today in our Vaishnava calendar, this is the appearance day of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So I'm going to spend a little bit of time, some words of appreciation of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Especially if she can find that nice PowerPoint somewhere and pull it up on the screen. That would be really nice. Just now coming. So who is Vrindavan Das Thakur? We're honoring his appearance day. Those of you that know who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will know that he's not just an incarnation of Krishna, but he's Krishna himself. There's incarnations of Krishna, and there's the source of all incarnations, Krishna himself. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, which means that when Lord Chaitanya appears, all of the associates of Lord Chaitanya appears, Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself, all of Krishna's associates also appear. They just appear in a different form, but the same bhav or emotional mood of love for Lord Chaitanya as those associates have for Krishna. Isn't that nice? Should I say it again? It's a little confusing for those of you that are new. I'll do it again. There's a very nice painting of Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself in the mood of Radha. So on our altar we have Radha Damodar, and we see two forms over on our right, or Krishna's left, is Srimati Radharani, and there's Damodar, Radha Damodar, Radha Krishna. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, these two forms are actually one entity, just like the sun and the sunshine. They're one entity. There's not shine separate from the sun or sun separate from shine. It's one entity. Similarly, Krishna is the energetic, Radha is his internal pleasure potency, one entity, eternally manifest in two forms. Got it. Now those two forms of one entity take one form, same one entity. In the Krishna himself, in the luster or duty of Radha, golden in complexion is Radha, and in the bhava or the mood of love of Radha for Krishna, so that Krishna can experience the love of Radha that she has for him himself by taking the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, experiencing the love that Radha has for Krishna. That's Lord Chaitanya. I'm pausing so that can sink in a little bit. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, the associates, their eternal associates in the spiritual world, they appear with him. And they're the same mood of ecstasy of love as Krishna's associates in Vrindavan have love for Krishna. One of them is Srivas Pandit. Srivas Pandit in our Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas. So Srivas is Narada Muni. In Krishna's Leela, Srivas is Narada Muni. So Srivas has a mood of love for Lord Chaitanya like Narada Muni has for Krishna. And Srivas, in his Leela, he had three brothers, and they lived, those of you that are from India, you know what this means. They lived as an extended family. There was one big compound, and one brother and his wife and children, and the other brother and his wife and children, they all lived in one compound, and they lived as an extended family. The other names sound very much like Srivas, so they're actually easy to remember. It's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srivas, Sri Ram, Sri Pati, and Sri Nidhi. Srivas, Sri Ram, Sri Pati, and Sri Nidhi. And they were married and they had children. Malini was the name of Srivas Pandit's wife. And the others somehow, the only other brother that's spoken of often is Sri Ram. And if you are a little familiar with Chaitanya's Leela, he's sometimes affectionately known as Ramai. It's Sri Ram and Ramai are the same person, just affectionately like a nickname, Ramai. So he's another brother. And then the two other brothers, Sri Pati and Sri Nidhi. It never says who, but one of the Sri Pati or Sri Nidhi other two brothers was the father of Narayani. And Narayani, so that was Srivas's niece, one of his brother's daughters. And Narayani was a recipient of very, 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 very special affection of Lord Chaitanya. She regularly received remnants of prasad right from the plate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He arranged it. So guess what she did in Krishna's Leela, or he did? Narayani, in Krishna's Leela was the younger sister of one of Krishna's nurses, whose name was Ambika. She regularly received Krishna's remnants in Krishna's Leela. So she had the same bhav, same ecstasy of love in exchange with Lord Chaitanya. She was regularly the recipient of Mahaprasad right from Lord Chaitanya's plate. Would you like some of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprasad? Even once. She was regularly the recipient. Ka was her name in Krishna's Leela, and her elder sister was Ambika, and Ambika in Lord Chaitanya's Leela was Malini, Srivas's wife. Now, Srivas had just one son. And there's a Leela where that one son, this song that we sang, it commemorates, or it's Srivas passed, because it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, where Srivas is consoling the grieving family members. And that's what our topic is about this evening. Acceptance of some loss, and continuing further to progress in Krishna consciousness after having duly spent some time grieving the loss. So Srivas, the Leela was like this. For one whole year, every night, as the evening fell, the Vaishnavas gathered at the house of Srivas and had kirtan all night long until the break of dawn in the next morning. doesn't say when they slept for 1 year, but they probably went to work, but they had kirtan all night long. And Lord Chaitanya, in various moods of ecstasy, would dance. And the devotees would dance and sing and chant and experience higher and higher and ever higher stages of ecstatic love for Krishna in Lord Chaitanya's association. So one evening, without any warning, it wasn't like a protracted illness, Srivasa's son died. In the evening, hours, the kirtan. Now, in Vedic culture, those of you that are familiar with this, if the spirit soul leaves the body at night before the sun rises, they're to perform the funeral. If the spirit soul leaves the body in the daytime before the sun sets, they're to perform the funeral. It's like that's auspicious and otherwise it's not auspicious. So Srivas came to hear, while the kirtan was going on, that his only son died. Those of you that have children, think about it for a moment. His only son died. So he went out of the kirtan into the back area where his house was, and his wife and the nurses and, you know, the family, other family members were all gathered around grieving the loss of Srivas' son and Malini's son. And Srivas spoke to them. I think what I'll do is I'll read a summary. This is from Chaitanya Bhagavat, chapter 25, those of you that want to look it up later. And otherwise I'm going to send it to whoever signs up on that registration thing, and you'll get three files. One of them is what I'm about to read, which is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's introduction to that chapter that summarizes the Leela. It's so nice. I could say it, but I think I'll just even read it. One day, when the Lord was absorbed in enjoying kirtan pastimes in Srivas' courtyard, the son of Srivas left his body. When Srivas heard the sudden crying of the ladies, he quickly entered the house and instructed everyone to stop their mundane behavior for some time so that the Lord's feelings of ecstatic love while dancing would not be disturbed. Otherwise, he threatened to end his life by jumping into the Ganges. It was more important to Srivas, this is his mood, that Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy should continue. We should not do anything that will interrupt Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. And if you don't, I'll go drown myself in the Ganges. Stop. Pretty extreme, right? Srivas then jubilantly rejoined the Lord's kirtan. Then Lord Chaitanya said, after some time, I'm not feeling ecstasy. Has there some calamity that's happened in the house? Of course, he's omniscient. The devotees then informed the Lord of everything that happened. On seeing Srivas' display of love for him, the Lord began to cry. We'll hear his words, his crying. Thereafter, the Lord asked the dead boy why he had left the house of Shalt. He embraced Srivas and said, what kind of devotee is there in this world like you, that you checked your grief simply so that it would not disturb my happiness in kirtan? And he wept. He embraced him and started crying profusely out of ecstatic love for the love that Srivas had for him. And then he went to the boy's deathbed and started speaking with the boy who had already died. he asked, "Why did you leave the house of Shrivas?" And the boy sat up. And he said, "Who is my father anyway?" Of course, this time around, he was my father, but who was my father before he was my father? I had so many fathers and so many fathers and so many fathers. Who is my father? I went to the abode of my eternal father, and you brought me back here. I just follow the will of the Supreme Lord like all the rest of us do. So, please let me go. And he laid back down and was gone. Everyone was, needless to say, quite astonished. After hearing those spiritual topics from the mouth of the dead child, the lamentation of Shrivas's entire family was vanquished. They fell at the Lord's feet and began to humbly offer various prayers. Then, right there in that room, the Lord began kirtan and chanted in ecstasy. And then the next morning he went to Malini, the grieving mother. Very beautifully he said, "Lord Nityananda and I are like your sons. From this day forward, just accept us as your sons." That's how her motherly affection would find repose in Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, which she already had that such affection. He just formalized it. So, the purpose of taking this section to read about is our topic. And before we touch on our topic, a little bit more about Vrindavan Das Thakur, the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, from which this song was derived. So this is an artist's rendering of the nine islands of Navadvip by the flow of the river Ganges and its different tributaries, as you see here. Nine islands. Literally, they were islands, like pieces of land surrounded on all sides by the Ganges. At least during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Since that time, the Ganges current has changed its course. But according to the descriptions, this map has been drawn. On the left side here are the nine islands and some of the main places in each of the islands and each of the nine processes of devotional service that correspond with each of the islands. And where Vrindavan Das was born was Modrum Dweep, and Srivas's place was over here at Antar Dweep. So his mother was born over here as the son of either Sripati or Srinidhi. Then when she was married, her husband and she moved to the place of her parents in Modrum Dweep. Vrindavan Das Thakur was born in Modrum Dweep. The island is a island indicating the mood of service. And here's a little on the wall surrounding Modrum Dweep, or the place where Vrindavan Das Thakur was born, in English. Probably there's one that's in Bengali too. It indicates the island and the meaning of the name, where service to the personality of Godhead, it predominates. And the place is called Mam Gachi, and anyone who has been there will fall in love with the place because it's so amazingly, transcendentally nice. Just, it hasn't been yet, at least, it hasn't been commercialized and modernized to some degree over the years, but pretty much still just the natural beauty is abundantly visible and very, very nice. So, among the places, this is the birthplace of Vrindavan Das Thakur and the home of his mother, Narayani. And here's the place of his birthplace. As you can see, in English, down here, the birthplace of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And we go through the gate and we see the little temple. It's one of the, now it's a little bit more developed than when this photograph was taken. And the temple grounds outside the temple. And the altar on this side, there's deities that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur installed, Radha Krishna deities. And on the other side are the Gornitai deities that were worshipped by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Vrindavan Das was born 4 years after Lord Chaitanya left Navadvip. He actually never met Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya took sannyas when he was 24. And he lived until he was 28. So 24 years passed. So he was around 20 years old and he wanted like anything and anything and anything to go see Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya had left. So he grew up as the son of Narayani. So guess what he heard about? Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And he was a Brahmana, so he was highly scholarly. He had learned the scriptures very thoroughly, but it was filled with Gaura Bhakti. And he never even got to see Lord Chaitanya. So when Lord Chaitanya left, he was devastated. Lord Nityananda came, knowing the grief that Vrindavan Das would be feeling, and he gave him shelter. Eventually, Vrindavan Das took Diksha from Lord Nityananda, and that certainly comes out in his Chaitanya Bhagavat. So, in Krishna's Leela, Vyasadeva was the author of Krishna's pastimes. He wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, yes? So in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, Vyasadeva appeared as Vrindavan Das, who is known as the Vyasadeva of Gaura's Leela. So as Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, Vrindavan Das wrote Chaitanya Bhagavat, Bhagavat Purana and Chaitanya Bhagavat. Actually, previously he called it Chaitanya Mangala. And it was known by the name Chaitanya Mangala. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita sometime later, Krishna Das Kaviraj refers to it again and again as Chaitanya Mangala. But then later on, another great Vaishnava wrote another biography of Lord Chaitanya. And he called it Chaitanya Mangala and said, actually, Vrindavan Das is the Vyasadeva of Krishna's pastimes, and Vrindavan Das is the Vyasadeva of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. It should be called. So then after it's been known as Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Chaitanya Bhagavat primarily describes the Navadvip pastimes. It has, like Chaitanya Charitamrita has three divisions, beginning, middle, and end, or Adi Lila, Madhya Lila, Antya Lila. And the beginning, middle, and end have different breaking points in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Different than, because emphasis primarily is on Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Navadvip, because that's where he lived. He never had the experience of the other pastimes. And also he wrote that he was concerned about the volume becoming too much. And so he was diminishing what he wrote about. And therefore later, some practically a generation later, the residents of Vrindavan wanted Krishna Das to write the rest of the pastimes elaborately. And so he, with their instruction and request and blessings, he did that. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is very exhaustive and highly philosophical, and Chaitanya Bhagavat, he doesn't attempt to convince anybody of anything. He just expresses his ecstasies. Not caring for outsiders and people like it, they don't like it. He didn't even say it, whether they like it or don't like it. He just was ecstatic and expressed the glories of Lord Nityananda and the glories of Lord Chaitanya ecstatically. It's significant, so just to appreciate Vrindavan Das Thakur and his love for both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, is to appreciate his mother, Narayani. Again, Narayani is consistently, in both literatures, Chaitanya Bhagavata, Chaitanya Charitamrita, simply of Srivas. Doesn't say who her father is, doesn't say who her mother is. One of Srivas' brothers, daughter. And she was special recipient of Lord Chaitanya's affection. You know what that means. She was a very special devotee. There's one pastime where Narayani was called upon by Lord Chaitanya. It's a long pastime, which there isn't, because I want to do this other subject matter. I won't go into the whole Leela. But Lord Chaitanya wanted to prove one time. He wanted to prove to Srivas that he would protect the residents of Navadvip from any difficulty. Because there was this rumor, psst, 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 you know, that kind. No truth to it at all. Psst, psst, psst. The envious people who didn't like that the Brahmana Vaishnavas were having kirtan, they started a rumor. The king is going to come with boatloads of soldiers and he's going to destroy the whole of Navadvip because of this Srivas pundit. We should tear down his house and break down the walls and throw into the Ganges before our whole Navadvip gets destroyed. The soldiers are coming, the soldiers are coming, the soldiers are coming. Psst, psst, psst. There were no soldiers coming. But Srivas was in big anxiety. Because of me, he was Vaishnav, being very humble and taking the responsibility for the difficulty that would come to the devotees. Because of the kirtan in our home, and how can we go on? And he was in anxiety. It was a Leela. Because he's a transcendental personality. But he was in anxiety. And Lord Chaitanya knew of his anxiety. So one morning, Lord Chaitanya was walking along the side of the Ganges, early in the morning, just as the sun was rising, and he saw on the other side of the Ganges some boys herding some cows. And he entered into the mood of Vrindavan by the side of the Jamuna, and there was cows and cowherd boys. And he went running in the mood of a cowherd boy to the house of Srivas Pandit. Transcendental ecstasy. Krishna and Vrindavan herding cows. Srivas was worshipping his deity. He had a Damodar Shila. So he had taken the Shila off the altar and he placed it in his puja place and was seated on with a little table in front of him, worshipping his deity. And Lord Chaitanya came running in this ecstatic mood of Vrindavan. As a cowherd boy, he sat right on the altar where the deity normally is put. Lord Chaitanya sat right there and said, "Srivas, worship me." Previously, he was in the mood of a devotee, chanting Krishna's name and love of Krishna. But now he's in the mood of protecting his devotee, Srivas. "Srivas, worship me. Have Malini bring the puja paraphernalia and worship me." Malini came running and they started worshiping and he called out in a loud voice, "Srivas, have no fear. If you think that this king is going to come here and harm you and the citizens, the residents of Navadvip, let me tell you, Srivas, I will challenge them. I will challenge them, you take me to your capital. And you take, bring into your capital all of the, whatever they're called, mullahs and this ones and that ones, you know, the priestly caste, whatever their names are, titles are. And you get one of them to exhibit in a human being ecstatic love of God, and they will not be able to do it. And I'll challenge the king. I'll go into the forest and I'll bring wild tigers and elephants and wild animals and bring them into your courtyard and have them chant the holy name in ecstatic love of God. Shrivas, don't doubt it. Bring your niece, Narayani. Brought Narayani. 3 years old. Think of someone, little girl, 3 years old. Narayani, chant Krishna's name in ecstatic love of God. She burst out in tears and called out, Krishna! Krishna! And again, he gave the order, Narayani, call out Krishna's name in ecstatic love. And she called again and again, and everyone melted. Shrivas fell at his feet and said, oh, my anxiety is gone. We're protected. You're the personality of Godhead, and no one can harm us because you're protecting us. Let the kirtans continue. And during that same 1 year, there was this very ecstatic all night long exhibition of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divinity, where he again sat on the altar and had them perform abhishek right on the altar, like a deity bathing ceremony, and then had them dress him and had them place garlands and had them do arti. And then he brought the kirtan is meanwhile going on, an ecstatic kirtan going on, and one by one he brings the devotees forward and reveals to them their eternal identity in his Leela with Krishna, or in the case of Marigupta as Hanuman in relation to Ram. Very, very, all night long. And when he called Narayani, he did the same thing. Second time. Narayani, chant Krishna's name in ecstatic love of God. And he's just dancing and dancing and dancing and ecstatic chanting and crying and rolling on the ground. Little girl. See, then she was 4. No imitation. It was ecstatic love. And thereafter, Narayani was regularly the recipient of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprasad. So many nice pastimes, but as Narayani grew up, she became married. She moved to Mamgachi, where she married Vaikuntha Pandit. And a child was conceived. Before the child was born, the husband, the father of the child, died. Vrindavan Das Thakur was born as the posthumous child, son of Vaikuntha Pandit, the daughter of Narayani. And very near to where Vrindavan Das Thakur and Narayani lived was another, one of many great Vaishnavas that lived in this area, named Vrindavan Das. And Vrindavan Das was very wealthy and incredibly charitable. So charitable that he gave everything away and didn't have enough to take care of his own family. So Vrindavan Das charitably engaged Narayani as worshipping his deities in his home, his wealthy, huge, like palatial home in Mamgachi. So that was her maintenance. And after some time, she moved back to stay with Shrivas and Malini. But after Narayani left Navadvip to take sannyas, Shrivas and his brothers couldn't bear seeing Navadvip without Lord Chaitanya. So they eventually left Navadvip. and they went to Kumarahatta, which is, some of us have gone there. It's near the holy city of Calcutta. And it's a very nice place that Lord Chaitanya later came to visit them. Kumarahatta. The mood of worship of Vrindavan Das was like that of a cowherd boy, according to the Vaishnav literature, Gauragonadesh Deepika. That is to say, the way it's described is that, forget the name. Kusama Pida also entered into him for special purposes. Doesn't explain, just says that. So it's higher spiritual science, folks. Vyasadeva and a partial incarnation of Kusama Pida. So his mood was Sakyarasa, like a cowherd boy in relation to Krishna. That was the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, or the author of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, the Vyasadeva of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So this is, on the altar is this murti of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. The Thakur is to indicate his erudition, his scholarship, and very, very, very much respected amongst the Vaishnava community. There's a very famous event where Mother Janava took many devotees to Katurigram to perform a major Gorpurnima festival. Vrindavan Das accompanied her as the disciple of Lord Nityananda, and the wife of Lord Nityananda. Together they went in honor of Lord Chaitanya. So that's our honoring of Vrindavan Das Thakur on his appearance day. Now here's our topic. The overall theme is acceptance and progress. So the application of acceptance here is accepting reversals in life. That reversals is a term that Prabhupada would use, where to me it means like this: you're moving along the path of life and everything seems to be going like it's supposed to be going, and next thing you know you're headed in the opposite direction, like, you know, a head-on collision or something, and you were going this way and now you're going that way, and what happened? Some unexpected major shift of the course of events that's very surprising, very unexpected. And then what do you do? How do you respond to those situations? An example is when Maharaj Parikshit was cursed to die. He's the king, he's the emperor of the world, and a little boy cursed him to die because he got in a little fit of anger. And he knew how to do it through Brahminical power. He cursed him to die in 7 days. That was a reversal. An emblem of virtue, the grandson of the Pandavas, perfect emblem of religiosity, as was his grandfather. He made a mistake. It was a significant mistake, but it wasn't worthy of death penalty. But he just accepted it, that there must be a plan of the Lord within this, and so I accept it. So he made his arrangements to depart, rather than anything else, neutralizing or the curse or something. So how do we accept reversals in life? How to grieve and how to grow? So if you happen to be a realized transcendentalist, you don't have to worry about this one so much, because a realized transcendentalist never grieves for the loss of the temporary. But in case you're like the rest of us, sadhakas not yet firmly established in the higher stages of spiritual realization need to learn the art of accepting reversals acknowledging the sense of loss, learn how to grieve in the presence of Vaishnavas and Krishna, and to grow from that experience. So that's our topic. And Srivas's prayers, which I'm now going to, the song kind of summarized it, and now I'm going to read the translation of a song that's paraphrasing what he said. I hope I can find it easily. Here's Srivas's words paraphrased by I was going to go to the actual words of Srivas found in Chaitanya Bhagavat, but in any case I summarized that already. He explained the transcendental position of the soul. The soul is destined to depart at a time determined by the Supreme. The time of the departure of Srivas' son was it couldn't have a more auspicious time. During kirtan, in which Lord Chaitanya is directly participating, and all the devotees are in an ecstatic mood of love of God, and in that atmosphere he leaves his body. Hari Bol. If we could be so fortunate. But because of attachment to the platform of the body, although they knew the, like our discussion this morning, they knew the philosophy, but they were attached to the body. And so he was speaking transcendental knowledge to relieve them of that attachment. But when they continued wailing and wailing and wailing, he said, stop, because it'll disturb Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. And if you don't stop, better that it's such an offense to offend Lord Chaitanya, better I give up my life. So they stopped. But he was giving knowledge similar. There's a nice passage in, there's several nice passages actually in Srimad Bhagavatam where Angira and Narada are pacifying King Chitraketu when his son dies. Interestingly enough, in the seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu is giving pastoral counseling to Diti and the relatives after Hiranyaksha has departed. It's really fantastic. Really fantastic. Just like this little passage spoken by Srivas is spoken by none other than His Grace Hiranyakashipu. Prabhu. And it's very elevated transcendental knowledge. It means he understood, although he understood transcendental knowledge, he was still to Vishnu. It's really fascinating. But sometime read it, and then you know if you need to some assistance in some time of your grieving, or to assist another in the time of their grieving, you can read that section together and discuss it. It helps. Transcendental knowledge helps, depending upon the person, depending upon the intensity of their grief, depending upon the relationship you have with that person. Don't be indiscriminate and just go marching in with your books. And we'll cover that in a moment too. So this passage came from Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Chaitanya Bhagavat is the life of Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes and his teachings and his transcendental loving exchanges with the devotees. Particularly, lots of voluminous presentations and detail are there of his associates in Vrindavan, in Navadvip, before he goes to Puri, although there's some mention of his life in Puri as well. In Ramayana, there's a very nice section on grieving also, when Ram leaves to go to the forest. There's different groups of people that speak about it. It discloses, Valmiki is disclosing the mood of and the sentiments of great personalities that are experiencing grief, and how do they regard that situation of grief. There's a quote from Kaushalya. Grief destroys patience, eradicates knowledge, and confounds the senses. Indeed, there is no enemy like grief. Even a great blow from an enemy can be endured, but the smallest amount of grief is intolerable. This is transcendentalists, and we're not yet there. So when we experience grief, we have less resource to draw upon than Kaushalya had. But so it's something that, like this discussion in the morning about gap of where we are and where we want to be or what we know, moving within that space, there's things that we can do if we're in a situation of some shock of loss, or we're the close friend, or some kind of relationship with another who is undergoing that, and there's certainly plenty of that, because birth, death, disease, and old age in this world, it goes on. When we chant attentively, the high position is the spiritual panacea or medicine. And there's great solace when someone is in a grieving state to take shelter of the holy name. There's like lots of impetus, because it seems like all other shelters have gone away. Chanting attentively and finding shelter in the holy name can do wonders on our heart. Here's one quote from Namastaka. Oh, Harinam, you destroy the many sufferings of those who take shelter of you. Oh, holy name, you are the playful embodiment of intense spiritual bliss, a festival of happiness for Gokula. Oh, perfect and complete holy name of Krishna, I offer pranam unto you time and again. And here's another quote from Skanda Purana. I offer my prostrated obeisances to that infinite Lord, because by him and all physical and mental ailments are forthwith rooted out. So when we are in a situation of grieving some loss, and to help us acknowledge that and accept it, take shelter. Because without shelter, it's just a free fall with jagged rocks at the bottom. So take shelter of the holy name. And other forms of expression of devotion unto Krishna. So I'm going to send you all a file, one of three files, that gives some details on both the spiritual application of assisting someone who's in a grieving condition, and the other kind, you know, like those that aren't necessarily devotees, but it's their profession to extend care at the time of grief. So I'm going to send it to Ajita, and he'll forward it to whoever puts their name on that list, and so at least you can look at it. And when that occasion comes into your life, we're all at some time or another called upon to assist, sometimes depending upon your service more, but we're all called upon. So these are some points that will help you in that attending to another who's in a grieving condition. So these are some recommendations. There's seven total. Acknowledging what just happened. Don't deny it, run away from it, hide from it, put your head in the sand. Acknowledge it, recognize what happened. This is our saying yes to Krishna part that came somewhere along the path of our weekend together. There's an initial shock and, no, it can't be, how did this happen, kind of reaction. But at some point, just acknowledging it happened. It's irreversible. Like calling Srivas back from the dead. Or same happened with the son of King Chitraketu. Narada invited him, come back. Don't you see your mother and father are so grief-stricken that now that you've gone. So he came back, sat up and started speaking again. Then there's this primary and secondary kinds of grief. I'm just going to go to this because it explains. The primary is the event itself, and the secondary is what we feel about the primary. Like this little document you're going to receive, it gives the example. Somebody finds out they have Parkinson's disease. And so the shock that now they have this disease. And then there's a secondary, like, now I'm not going to be able to work, and now some other people that are depending upon me can't, you know, receive what they need from me, from my work, and I must be bad, otherwise why would this happen, and those kinds of things. So it's good to separate, first acknowledge the primary, and then having acknowledged the primary makes it easier to deal with the secondary. Secondary emotions are life-inhibiting. While primary emotions have the potential of being life-promoting, they pass through you. They do not hold you hostage. In other words, the event of a loss, it passes. But then you have this condition now, whatever that condition is, and it stays with you. It's chronic. And it can emotionally be very debilitating if one has to address those two things in a separate way. Okay, so grief, anger, looking to someone to blame, why me, and those kinds of things. Those are the secondary things. This is now advice from the professionals. It's not, you know, a verse and chapter number from Bhagavatam. This is people that are in this profession. Timely acknowledgement of grief promotes action towards life rather than lifelong movement towards death, like prolonged lamentation. And just stay in that lamentation. Rather, better to face the loss, address it, it's loss, let it go, and move on. Let it be life-giving, is their advice. Again, these are just extracted from a larger document which I'll be sending out so you can take some time to look through it. Grieving as a process. It indicates like there's 6 or 7 stages or something like that. And part of it is putting life back together again, although it's not, doesn't look the same as before that which caused the grief, the loss. Even performing some rituals at an appropriate time to bring it to the realm of the conscious from the subconscious. Here's an example. I was in China, and one of the devotees asked a question that I didn't have the answer to. They said, "Why in our culture in China, it's common to offer things to forefathers." So, and this was a devotee, you know, so I've learned since I participated in Krishna consciousness, there's a planet, Pitriloka, a planet of forefathers, and the benefit of offering Pinda or Vishnu Prashad to forefathers is if they're somehow stuck there, they, by getting Vishnu Prashad, they can move on to their next destination. So it's honoring them in that way. That's the Vaishnava principle in any case. But why would we, after the someone's departure, offer Shraddha? Like, you know, so what does it mean? You go to the place where their funeral was held, and then you have some ritual. So I said, I don't know. So I asked Bhanu Swami. And he said, he gave this answer. Said it's beneficial for the person who's performing it, this one. And it's also wherever the soul is, because of the conscious effort, wherever the soul is, the intended, you know, benefit or gift or piety or spiritual gain goes to that soul because of the sankalpa or the intention of the ritual. So both parties, by doing these things, and so it's although we're not the body, we certainly identify with it, and so we're tied to it karmically and in some degree consciously and certainly subconsciously. So it helps us move from that position. There are Vaishnava rituals like this, not just Karmakanda rituals. And number 5 out of 7, grieving together. That is, you know, with the devotees, but also the original father and mother of all living entities, Krishna and Radha. So we're not separate from them. You connect with them. It helps bring that imagery or that ignorant, the transcendental, which carries you beyond the condition of grief. So this now goes to the transcendental position, not what just the professionals say. They use, you know, God, for those who are religious or God-conscious people, they can handle situations of grief better because they have an ultimate shelter. The temporary shelter or something is gone, but the eternal shelter is then more intensely taken. And the transcendental knowledge helps us stay in touch with our spiritual feelings and properly handle the other ones. And again, so this acceptance is with a capital A, it's acceptance of our shelter in Krishna that gives us great hope. So I'll send this out so you can read it over in detail. And we'll end with that and offer our obeisances unto our founder Acharya, who's brought us into our way of transcendental life that can help us deal with the temporary in its ups and downs and calamities. Well, meanwhile, we carry on with spiritual progress towards our ultimate destination of shelter in Krishna. And there, see if there's some questions or comments. Yes?
I did not read Chaitanya Charitamrita or other stuff, but based on your lecture, it appears that when Mahaprabhu left his body...
He didn't leave his body.
I mean, he ended his pastime.
Okay, thank you.
Forgive me. When he ended his pastime, Vrindavan Das Thakur and others who came after him, they lamented. That's a process of grief. Similarly with Uddhava, which you were referring to.
Sure.
And how does that... how do we understand that?
We understand that it's natural. It's love. It's not attachment to the body. Take the microphone from him. It's not attachment to the body. It's attachment to that Sangha. And now that Sangha is no longer accessible, at least in the same way. I mean, you know, Prabhupada's association for his disciples when he departed, it wasn't, now we were told, okay, well, now we're supposed to cry. The transcendental emotion just flooded everyone. And similarly with these great devotees, they're the life and soul. Their life and soul is the shelter of Mahaprabhu, and he's gone, or Uddhava, Krishna's gone. He was like a madman, talking and 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 talking about Krishna. It's in the first canto with Arjuna. So your question is, how do we understand it? It's their emotion of attachment coming out. There's a whole chapter where Arjuna is lamenting. He comes back to Hastinapur and tells Yudhisthira the bad news. Krishna's pastimes have ended. And he's smashed. And he's recounting, I will no longer be experiencing this and that. And he recounts the pastimes of Krishna. And then he starts remembering the instructions that Krishna gave him on the battlefield. And then he understands, right in the middle of that discussion, Krishna did this so that I would be able to maintain my existence after his departure just by remembering his instructions. Like that. It's transcendental love, not mundane love. The mundane love is the perverted reflection of. Someone else. Yes?
Maharaj, I didn't understand exactly what it meant to separate the primary and the secondary. I don't remember exactly what it was. The event.
There's emotions. The primary. This is not my field. I can only repeat what this little article says, and you can read the little article and then research it some more. I'll just repeat what it says. There's the event. The example that they give in that little document is, you find out you have Parkinson's disease. That's grief. Oh my God. And then comes the consequences of that. I'll not be able to take care of my dependents. I won't be able to fulfill the work that I wanted to fulfill. It must be my bad activity that has put me in this situation, and all the other secondary things that come from the primary thing, the event itself. And those other ones linger and can their analysis is, they're more dangerous. They can keep one imprisoned for a long, long time. Someone departs and you didn't let them know your feelings for them. You feel that you didn't adequately serve them, or that, you know, and so on. And it's too late. So there's the event, but then there's the secondary feelings that linger and linger and linger. Well, there's a cognitive thing, but then there's the emotional thing. It's not my field, but their message is the two need to be considered and entertained. Okay, now the loss is first the loss. You're not responsible for loss. It's like what Srivas is saying. The Lord takes and Lord gives. He gives and He takes away. So things happen not because you didn't do something right. Things happen because the Supreme Lord is the controller. Certainly we do some things wrong, but in this case, not that we did something wrong. The Lord wanted him to go on and do something else somewhere else. He gave his association, he's taken his association somewhere else. So don't contradict the Lord's well wishes. In grief, be sorry about it. That's the primary. Accept it. The event has happened. The Lord's will is being carried out, like Maharaj Parikshit. He didn't know what it was, but somehow the Lord's will was being carried out. So he could receive Srimad Bhagavatam. That was the reason. And he could take him back to Godhead. That was the reason. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam with his mind fixed. But someone else besides Maharaj Parikshit might continue to feel secondary emotions subsequent to the event. My son, I and mine. Okay? Yeah. Go ahead, Mahamantra, then that we're done.
Guru Maharaj, Mother Kaushalya.
Mother Kaushalya's statement saying that people are more than taking the enemy that is low. So, for a devotee, though the lamentation is for the loss of the Sangha, yet he has to go through the.
Who's he? Experiencing grief. Okay. Depends on consciousness. Correct? Srivas didn't. Okay.
So I'm wondering how to distinguish transcendental from mundane emotion, and also how to solve the problem where the devotee who is mourning is maybe there's a mix of.
Yeah, generally, generally there's a mix. I don't know how to draw the line. I don't know how to describe drawing the line. The distinction, one distinction is the difference between material and spiritual is spiritual draws one closer to Krishna, material takes one further from Krishna. So the lamentation of, for example, Uddhava, it was transcendental lamentation. And someone else that's lamenting that takes them away from thought of Krishna, that's material. So it's the consciousness behind can be indicated by the Krishna connection, the degree of it, or the weakness of it. Is that, there was another part? Does that address your question? Kind of. Okay. Can you speak loud? Okay. Lord Chaitanya revealed to his associates
their identity and their relationship with him.
Yes.
And yet, when he left, when he ended his
pastimes,
they lament. So should we understand that even though in spiritual world there is similar separation, even though Lord Krishna is at home?
It's profound. It's profound, to say the least. The word that, or the term that's used by Bhaktisiddhanta that seems appropriate in this regard is seeming error means. The error in Sanskrit is B-H-R-A-M-A, Brahma, and Vip-Brahma-Vilas. Vilas means a pastime. Pastime of seeming error. Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, elaborately discusses this in Krishna Sandarbha in particular. When the gopis are in Krishna, Krishna tells them, I'm in your heart. They object, saying, don't tell us about Dhyan Yoga and Gyan Yoga. We want your association. But he's saying that the acharyas describe, they were actually experiencing Krishna's association in their feelings of inseparation. There was no separation. It was seeming error that Krishna left. It was bhava. It's a mystery, but there's the explanation. The seeming loss for a transcendentalist is an ecstatic emotion, you know, similar to, you know, the question that Atmanivedana asked. That is, the intensification of love for Krishna increases with that loss. It's spiritual. So it's seeming Krishna's gone. It's a lila to intensify the love. It's mysterious. Last question, Krunaniti. You don't have a loud voice. Back to his question. Transcendental in the sense that, I don't know if you heard his question, but Narottam Das Thakur has a particular song where he's a very extreme kind of lamentation and separation. So is that spiritual material? It's where the intensification of love and connection is spiritual with Krishna, the object. It's not material. Narottam is not on our platform, and we're not on his platform. But the symptom is intensification of connection in love. That's the litmus test, the examining variable. Okay. You have something? Do you have a loud voice? Oh, good. No. We're not callous, but the gift that a Vaishnava wishes to give is the eternal gift. Where we can give the eternal gift, we're happy to give the eternal gift. Should I expand, or you get it? You get it. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.